This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It was a wild Tuesday. It was a wild Tuesday in sports. Holy cow. After not being here last night, I was working my other job, which requires TV, so it's not my favorite. I really miss being on the radio every time I do TV. But it's how I get to do basketball games. So I put on my best smile and extra makeup and I do the TV. So I'm back now with a brand new appreciation for this radio studio and the beauty of the medium. And there's so much to talk about. It was one crazy Tuesday in sports. And it's almost comical how little the college football playoff standings, the updated version, which is actually the last version because it hasn't changed at all. It's almost comical how that's barely a blip on the radar considering everything else that's happened in sports in the last 24 hours. And even going back, the 12 hours before that, only because I wasn't with you last night, though I'm sure you were in capable hands with Zach. I hope that you enjoyed the show, and I hope that you missed me always. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. We're inside the Quicken Loans studios. National mortgage lender Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. I think I have to change my Twitter password because every single time I try to put it into the computer, I usually have to type it in 3 or 4 times, and it's infinitely more complicated when you are talking. You should try it sometimes. Just for kicks and giggles. So you can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. We have a lot to talk about, as I said. And you can also find us on Facebook, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. And there's a bunch of things that we're going to do tonight that will require your social media presence. We already have a winner for your Monday MVP, but we didn't reveal it because I wasn't here last night. So we will give you Monday MVP. And all that that entails coming up on, we'll do it this hour, actually. And then we'll move on to Touchdown Tuesday, even as Tuesday wanes. It is still Tuesday in half the time zones in the U.S., but fairly soon we'll be moving forward into a Wednesday, so we have to step on it. We have to get a move on and get to Touchdown Tuesday, and you'll be able to vote on your favorite touchdown of the week from Week 10 in the NFL. Hard to believe that we're moving forward into week 11. Holy cow. And Thanksgiving is only a week away. And I have made a monumental decision that breaks me out of my mold, my holiday mode. I've never done this before, but I'm doing it this year. And I'll share it with you as we head through the show. You can make fun of me if you like, but I'm joining the ranks of the people that I used to make fun of. I mean, not mean-spirited or anything. So, the holidays are right around the corner. We're going into week number 11. So, we've got a big decision by the NFL to move the game between the Rams and Chiefs to Los Angeles. And that's huge because we've got two MVP candidates and a whole lot of other players in the midst of what could end up being a Super Bowl run. It's a possibility. It's on the table for both the Chiefs and the Rams. Why in the world we want any of those guys to get hurt? And so it's a smart decision by the NFL to put the health and safety of its players ahead of whatever international equity the league can gain by playing at Estadio Azteca. And I know that the guys are looking forward to it, but not to the detriment of their safety and their health. So smart move by the NFL. We'll give you all of the deets coming up as we head through the next few hours. Le'Veon Bell will not play football in 2018. And while this may not be a surprise in the immediate, only because there were multiple reports indicating he would not show up to Pittsburgh to join the team, and the hours waned and he was nowhere to be found, that part may not be a surprise. But going back to the summer, this has been one heck of a wild story with so many twists and turns. Think about it. The Steelers will spend the entire season without the guy they used to call their bell cow. And yet, they're sitting pretty. I will never say they're better off, but this could not have worked out any more in their favor than it did. In fact, I had to wait until the deadline passed, but I wrote my entire weekly column about the Le'Veon Bell decision, his perspective, as well as the team and the position they're in right now. And so I hope that you'll check it out. It's on my Twitter, A-Law Radio. I also put it up on Facebook. I know hundreds of you have already read it, which means so much to me. Writing is a labor of love. And when you take the time to read my columns and write back, it literally means the world to me. So thank you so much. I know a lot of you have already read it and commented on Facebook, and a bunch of you have responded on Twitter as well. So I hope that you, if you missed it or if you didn't have a chance yet, will take advantage and read my perspective on it. As someone who's outside Pittsburgh, as someone who recognizes the business of sports and how important it is, it's a whole other aspect of the game that a lot of times fans forget about or don't consider, because we're passionate, right? We're loyal. We're diehards. We want everybody in sports to be that way, but that's not logical. And it's also not reality. And so I hope that you will check out my column, and I'd love to talk about it with you now that the deadline has officially passed. Also in football, history in the college football playoff, but I'm not sure anybody knows. If a tree falls in the woods, you know that whole question, rhetorical as it were, because no one's actually there to hear it. So as college football playoff standings go, if nobody's paying attention, did they actually take place? Did the reveal actually happen? It's a little strange, right? I keep wondering where the chaos is. In fact, I tweeted this earlier. The cliche is no news is good news, but I need some news. Can somebody just give a girl some news from college football, please? With a side of drama, preferably. Yeah, it's not happening, at least not to this point in the season. We've got a cut and dried top four, and in fact, a cut and dried top 10 that did not change for the first time ever in the history of the college football playoff. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. We're going to give you the chance to ask Amy anything. It's part of our hump show. And so you can find us on Twitter with our show account. So you don't want to send the questions to me, because if I'll squash them, I'll mute them, I'll bury you if I don't like your questions. I know that's harsh. But you can also put them on our Facebook page. So either one of our social media sites, you can send your questions for Ask Amy Anything. Keeping in mind that I have no idea who's going to win the Super Bowl, and I'm not going to guess. And then hoops. Oh, hoops and hockey, actually. In the last hour, it's the highlight that makes my night. It's a milestone for my favorite player in the NHL. So I want you to hear the audio in all of its glory. Plus, I've compiled some nerd alerts. So I'm excited to share that with you. We'll do that coming out of our next break. So 10 minutes from now, we'll stick with hoops here for a second. Draymond Green suspended one game without pay for conduct detrimental. I mean, that's an easy term to be able to apply to the fallout from a verbal confrontation between Draymond and Kevin Durant on Monday in Los Angeles. And if you've been following the story, well, you recognize there have been ripple effects, and there may still be ripple effects moving forward. And so the team suspended Draymond primarily because of his comments and his attitude toward Kevin Durant. Now, if you followed the reports coming out of Los Angeles and the visitors' locker room on Monday, what we know, and you've seen the highlights too, did we get that call, by the way? Did you guys find me the play-by-play? All right, we're going to work on that because it's obviously out there everywhere. It was the last play of regulation, fourth quarter, between the Warriors and the Clippers in LA, Staples Center Monday night. Maybe by now you've seen it. And Draymond gets a defensive rebound, and he dribbles presumably the length of the court to try to score as time is running out. Again, game is tied at 106. He loses the ball. He fumbles it away. And behind him, as the trailer coming up the other side of the court, is KD, clapping his hands, asking for the basketball. I don't even have to ask you who you would prefer to have the ball in the final seconds of a tie game. Draymond Green is great. He's the grit. He's the heart. He's the soul. He's a vocal leader. He's the antagonist. He's all of those things that the Warriors need. But he's not the best guy to have the ball in his hands when you need a bucket to win a game. And with Steph Curry not available, Kevin Durant is your next best option. But Dre doesn't give him the ball. And instead, they go into overtime, they lose. Now, after they get to the end of regulation, there are videos all over the place of the two of them sparring near the bench. Once the game was over, that conversation, very heated, continued into the locker room. And according to multiple reports, while it did not turn physical and nobody threatened anybody else, it was a locker room that was engaged and that was really upset. There were some teammates that were questioning Draymond's decision, and then Draymond reportedly turned around and challenged KD about his free agency that comes up next summer and how he wanted the ball so that he could pad his resume for free agency. Now, all of that is ridiculous because Kevin Durant's one of the best players in the NBA. He does not need to add anything to his highlight reel to be one of the best players in the NBA. So Draymond brings it up. Why? Well, you know human nature, because that's what's on Draymond's mind, not what's on Kevin Durant's mind. We very often accuse other people of the things we do ourselves. And so Draymond's accusing KD of thinking about his free agency and his future when it's actually Draymond who's thinking about Kevin Durant's free agency and his future. And of course, looking for some way to dig at him, because that's also something that Draymond Green is really good at. He knows how to get under your skin. He's that loudmouth younger sibling that is always bringing the noise and knows you really well. And very often, locker rooms are like a family. And so it's not a surprise that they end up having this big family discussion. But the Warriors determined that Draymond's comments crossed the line, that they couldn't leave it the way that it was. They had to go ahead and take discipline to indicate that, A, this kind of action against a teammate was not allowed, but also, B, potentially to send a message to the locker room and maybe to Kevin Durant, who can be sensitive about this kind of stuff, that they don't agree with Draymond, that it's not okay for him to verbally accost another player.
We made a decision. We felt like this action merited the decision we made, but I have every confidence that he can move forward with it. Our team can move forward with it, our organization, our players. Because again, I mean, this is part of the NBA. This is part of what happens. You hit it head on, you make the best decision you can, and you go from there.
That's General Manager Bob Myers. Now, the team played at home against the Atlanta Hawks. That was just a game that just finished up in the last couple of hours. And Kevin Durant, Klay Thompson, both big nights in carrying the Warriors to a win. So you'll hear what Kevin Durant had to say. Because, of course, the first questions that he was asked were about Draymond Green. As a side note, you remember that Dre is one of the main reasons why KD landed in Golden State, because he was so heavily recruiting him. Remember that, going back to the decision that KD made, which was what, July 4th? Shoot, was it 2017? No, 2016? My years run together. But going back to that summer when Kevin Durant surprised everybody and left Oklahoma City, what did he say? What did Draymond say? Dre called him or texted him every single day until he made his decision. And so these guys are tight. We've seen them go back and forth before because they're both very strong personalities. But the Warriors thought this crossed the line, which is a big deal. And you can see and hear in KD's voice and body language that it's not quite put to bed. Not yet, anyway.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Sorensen and Burns, they're saying, with the assist. Here's Thornton. There it is! Number 400 for Joe Thornton! And the Sharks take the lead! He did it! Joe Thornton! 1,500 games! 1,000 assists! And now, 400 NHL goals!
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
I apologize that all we have is the TV call, but on NBC Sports California, you get a taste of the atmosphere inside the Shark Tank, where my favorite player in the NHL, my favorite player really of all time, he's a legend, he's a future Hall of Famer, and he joined some elite company on Tuesday night. Joe Thornton, Jumbo to you and I, to his fans, scores his 400th career goal. That's on top of him recently playing his 1,500th NHL game. He also has logged 1,000 assists. And according to Dan Rusinowski, who is the radio play-by-play voice, I can't wait to hear his call of Joe Thornton's 400th goal, which also turned out to be the game winner against the visiting Predators. It was six and a half to go in the third period. So according to Dan Rusinowski, seven total players in the history of the sport have ever reached such heights. 1,500 games, 1,000 assists, 400 goals. They are Ray Bourque, Ron Francis, Gordie Howe, Jaromir Jagr, Mark Messier, Steve Yzerman, and now Joe Thornton. That is some illustrious company, to be sure. And Thornton's the reason I cheer for the Sharks. He's the guy that really boosted my interest in hockey, going back to the days when he was with the Bruins. Incredible vision, incredible passing skills. He's gone through a couple of injuries in the last year and a half, including the ACL and then some residual knee pain to start this season. But he's out there continuing to play and continuing to be effective. He's not the captain anymore, but he's an assistant captain. Remember, he used to be a captain for the Sharks. He's pretty much seen and done everything in the NFL, in the NHL. As I was thinking, he's like the Tom Brady of the NFL. So, Joe Thornton, congratulations, and a huge smile for him afterwards. It was quite a celebration. If you haven't seen the video, I tweeted it. It's awesome to watch the video of him going nutso with the fans. Again, it's very demonstrative, which is not who Joe normally is. So please check out the video. I liked it on my Twitter, but I also went ahead and retweeted the video from right after the goal was scored. The Sharks have been doing a lot of different videos as well, so I'd encourage you to check it out if you're a big fan of hockey, if you are a fan of history. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, to check out the different videos and tweets and to find my column. And if you want to send your questions for Ask Amy Anything, you can do that on our Facebook page, too. Our phone number is 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. Coming up in 15 minutes, we'll get the scoop. We'll get the skinny on the Jimmy Butler move to Philadelphia and how this works for the Sixers. Also, what did Brett Brown mean when he said that Butler embodies the spirit of Philadelphia? The guy was there for all of 10 minutes. How does he embody the spirit of Philadelphia? So questions answered coming up in 15 minutes with our Philly insider who is in Orlando because that's where the team is. Kind of interesting that Butler was introduced in Philadelphia with general manager Elton Brand while Brown and the team were in Florida because they played the Heat and then they play the Magic coming up on Wednesday. And so Butler flew to Florida after the press conference to join his new teammates. And that's where we find our Philly insider again. He'll join us following the update at the bottom of the hour. We're talking about hoops. We're talking about the Draymond Green situation. I promised you that you could hear the comments of Kevin Durant. So it's KD who wanted the basketball in those final seconds of regulation with the game tied against the Clippers Monday. It was KD that Draymond went after. And the two of them were sparring verbally there on the court, presumably about basketball. But it turned personal once they got into the locker room. And it's the comments to Kevin Durant that precipitated the suspension. And what Bob Myers indicated is that they felt like Draymond crossed a line, and that's why he ended up getting suspended. And so Kevin Durant was asked his reaction to Dre's one-game suspension following their win over Atlanta.
I'm going to keep that in house. That's what we do here. I mean, obviously, I know you guys got a job to do, but I'm not trying to give nobody no headlines. What happened happened. We're trying to move on. Just trying to play basketball.
He also said in his initial comments that he had not spoken to Draymond Green and that he expected they would work it out, that they haven't yet, but he figured that they would at some point because it's a really long season. And even though they're not seeing eye to eye right now and haven't worked it out yet, so you can imagine the friction when Draymond does return, it's going to be awkward for a lot of people. It's going to be uncomfortable, but I found that most of my guy friends and my male family members tend to have the confrontation and then they move on a lot easier than I do. I sometimes have trouble letting things go and moving on. And Kevin is even saying, hey, as bad as this is, not having Draymond around, it's not the same.
I mean, his presence has been a part of this team for a while. I mean, before I got here, you know, he's been a huge staple in his organization. So, obviously, it's definitely weird not having him around and not just everything that went down.
So Kevin Durant was pretty somber postgame, despite the fact that they got a win, that they were able to rebound from the loss to the Clippers. And you can imagine that the entire locker room is kind of feeling it. And it was just a big deal for them to get over the hump and to get this victory on Tuesday night. But Draymond will return, and at some point, they're going to have to work it out. All right, you can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. If you want to send your questions for Ask Amy, you can do it on our show Twitter, After Hours CBS, also on our Facebook page. Pretty soon, we'll introduce our candidates for TD of the Week, and we definitely want to take your phone calls. A lot to jam in here in this first hour, as it was a wild Tuesday of news in sports.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
We're pleased to spend some time in Orlando now with Philly insider Keith Pompey, who covers the team for The Inquirer and is, again, getting ready for that matchup against the Magic on Wednesday night. Keith, thanks so much for a couple of minutes. What kind of reaction have you seen and heard from the team and the coaching staff about Jimmy Butler's trade to Philadelphia?
You know, initially, it was shock. I mean, a lot of guys, they didn't expect it to happen. I mean, they thought that he would probably end up at Miami or, you know, another team. And then, you know, the guys had a meeting on Saturday where they walked in and Brett Brown informed them that, you know, we're trading three players and we're bringing in Jimmy Butler. And like a lot of guys were shocked. as the days went along, then all of a sudden, you know, you start seeing guys saying more so how it's going to work out well for them, how they're, you know, excited about playing with them. So it changed, you know, but you could tell that, you know, some guys are, I'm not saying they're not uneasy at all, but what they are is they're just trying to, they're really intrigued on how this whole thing is going to work out.
From your perspective as someone who covers the team, Keith, why do you think the Sixers made this move?
Well, the 76ers, they need a. They always said they wanted a third star to go to play alongside Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid, and they struck out last year in free agency, and they thought that the best bet for them to get a star would be to acquire one in a trade. You know, that way that will allow them to offer that person more money than anyone else next year. So, you know, and then also the hope is kind of like what happened with Paul George. He goes to OKC, mm-hmm. he falls in love with the city, and then next thing you know, he resigns there. So this is the reason why the 76ers went after Jimmy Butler.
There is no disputing, regardless of what people think of Jimmy Butler, there's no disputing that he's a very strong personality. All right? You know, whatever your perspective, maybe as a fan or someone who covers basketball, he has a strong personality. That is a fact. How will that strong personality mesh with the other personalities in Philadelphia?
You know, that's kind of like still be determined. But at the same time, I do think that the one thing is, you know, Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons, whenever they lose games, I mean, these guys are like, you know, upset, they're beat up. I mean, yes, they are stars, but they're not the type of guys who basically take the glory out of just being the stars. Like, when they lose, it really hurts.
Mm.
And then you also have some other young guys who, you know, you look at this roster and as of the stars that we're talking about, Ben Simmons and Embiid, you know, 21 and 24. So when you bring in a Jimmy Butler, yes, you know, he may have had, you know, some things, rumors and stuff said about him at his other stops or reported about him at his other stops. But at the same time, I think that he could be the leader that this team is looking for. So I don't think that is going to be as bad as people expect. Now, at the same time, you know, everything is true. He will be a strong personality. But I think that it will work out here in Philadelphia.
Keith Pompey is with the 76ers in Orlando as they get set to play the Magic on Wednesday night. He covers the team for the Philadelphia Inquirer. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. What were your impressions of Butler and his introductory press conference?
I mean, I thought he did a good job. I mean, you know, they asked him a lot of things. He was candid. He was up front. You know, the main thing is, you know, everyone said that, hey, how do you think you'll fit in well with this team? I mean, you're a ball dominant player. He said, well, you know, yes, I was a ball-dominant player in Minnesota, but that's what I was asked to do. You know, he thinks that, you know, he, Ben Simmons, and Joel Embiid will get along. He also addressed Markelle Fultz's situation. So it just seemed like he was, you know, he was just real. He seemed like he was relaxed, and he showed a lot of his personality.
I thought it was interesting to hear what Coach had to say about Butler as someone who mirrors the spirit of Philadelphia. You're with the team all the time. What does that mean to you?
Well, when he says that, he's talking about being tough. You know, and Brett always, like, you know, Philly is known to be a blue-collar city,
mm-hmm.
You know, and people wear their hearts on their sleeves. And, you know, Jimmy Butler, you know, prides himself on being a blue-collar guy who wears his heart on his sleeve. And that's what Brett Brown was, you know, talking about.
I also thought it was interesting to hear that the team had done its homework, meaning they'd spoken to former teammates and coaches and executives and team staffers about Butler before they made the trade. And then Joel Embiid is talking about how, you know, this is the process. This is how we do things. Are the Philadelphia 76ers going to change anything for Butler, or are they going to stick to what they're doing now?
That's a great question. I think that, you know, they're going to I think it's going to be a little bit of both, and I know that might sound crazy, but they're going to try to continue to do certain things, but they also realize that they have to tweak some things. You know, for instance, you know, Jimmy Butler is a great isolation player. He's a great player in regards to playing a pick and roll. The problem with the 76ers is, you know, those were two of their weaknesses. So they did a lot of things on trying to have great ball movement. Now all that stuff works out well for like 44 of the 48 minutes in the game. And now they finally have someone who, when they need to do isolation, when they need to run the pick and roll a lot late in the game, they feel as right now we have a person that will help us. So I think that's what it is. He's going to help them, you know, more so closing out games. But other than that, they're still going to try to have a balanced attack. I mean, they're still going to try to keep everyone happy.
It is possible if everyone's willing to leave their own individual goals and egos aside. It's just not always a likely scenario in a professional locker room, but certainly can happen. Keith Pompey covers the Sixers for the Philadelphia Inquirer and the Philadelphia Daily News with us here after hours on CBS Sports Radio. So the Sixers are off to a 9-6 start as they head into this game with Orlando. How much do you feel like the young guys, because you mentioned the young guys, how much do you feel like they've grown from last season and that exit in the playoffs against the Celtics through the offseason to this early part of the schedule?
Well, the one guy I would talk about first is Joel Embiid. I mean, Joel Embiid is having like an all-star type of, not all-star, like an MVP type of start. Mm. I mean, he had double-doubles in all but one game. I mean, he scored at least 31 points in maybe five or six games. I mean, he's just been unstoppable on the block. You know, Ben Simmons, he's worked on some things. I think that Ben just needs to show that he's an improved jump shooter. It just seems like he's reluctant to display his skills and display the things that he worked on this summer. And until he does that, I think that, you know, people aren't going to say that he developed or took a huge leap. But I do know that he has worked on it. It's just a matter of him doing it.
Sure.
Unfortunately for Markelle Fultz, you know, he's still struggling shooting the ball. I mean, this past game, you know, it looked like he had the yips. So, you know, I guess he's regressing a little bit. But when you want to think about it, you know, Ben Simmons just needs to show what he worked on. Joel Embiid is having an MVP-type season. And this Markel, you know, he just needs to, you know, I guess work a little bit harder.
Is the team going to have patience with Markel until he figures it out?
You know, I think they have. And you know, in the past, if you look at it, you know, Markel, the guy, despite his struggles, they started him, you know, in the first 14 games of the season. You know, with Jimmy Butler coming, I mean, when you get Jimmy Butler, you're saying, like, hey, the time is now, so to speak. So I still think that Markel will play. I just don't think that he may not see as many minutes as he has before, you know. So the thing is, it's like right now they're going to have three superstars. You know, Markel might just have to get in where he fits in, so to speak.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.